Blessings to everyone on this Sunday. It's Sunday the 29th. And there's been a lot of bad news around us lately, the coronavirus being at the forefront, but I want to edify you this morning by preaching from the book of Judges on the good news of deliverance from the bad news. Now, mainly in chapter 3, and the timing is the first generations after Israel entered the promised land. Israel defeated city after city across the land when they got over the Jordan, and then the 12 tribes divided up the land. And what happened next is very bad news. Though they had the 40-year lesson in the wilderness, sin continued. And though they had the lesson of Achan, who had stolen from Jericho and was executed with his family, sin continued. They had the Mosaic law, but it did not magically take away the sin nature or sinful activity. In fact, New Covenant Revelation tells us that when the law came in, sin increased, and we see it in Judges. And it says the law awakens sin to show that sin is utterly sinful to the utmost. Now, with the Israelites, the main sin was making covenants with pagans. And Israel had been allowing the altars and the customs of the pagans to continue. So the angel of the Lord, which is God manifested in the flesh, came and gave the Israelites a prophetic message of bad news. God said he's no longer going to drive out the nations from before them. Well, years earlier, he warned about that consequence. The nations will be thorns in Israel's side. Their false gods will be snares. Now, because of sin, this bad news was their living reality. And in a matter of years, the generation that entered the promised land died off, but the bad news continued and it magnified. And it says the next generation did not know the Lord. It says they were ignorant of what God had done for Israel. Well, chapter 17 gives a very important detail. It says that in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So Israel lived forsaking the Lord, lived serving false gods. Well, God kept his promise. He gave them over to their enemies to be plundered and killed and enslaved. But God also has grace, and grace is good news. And in grace, God raised up people during those generations called judges. Judges were used by God to deliver Israelites from their enemies at certain times. The first judge was Othniel. Now, his victory over the enemy gave Israel peace for 40 years. But Israel kept turning away from God. So the Lord took the sin Israel thought was good, and he would chastise them with it. Again, God allowed the pagan nations the Israelites fellowshiped with in sin to remain in the land. The enemy stayed as a curse, like a coronavirus, and they continued to influence Israel, spreading their false religions, even making Israel serve them. Well, the pagans had lived death as their heritage. No everlasting hope at all, only a fake one invested in fake gods. Well, now Israelites were investing in the same curse of spiritual lostness, and all they were getting in return was the curse due the investment. It was bad news. They needed the good news of deliverance. And we will see how the threads of this truth and all of this weave into our own lives. Prepare your heart for this sermon. The good news is deliverance from the bad news. I want to pray. You can join with me. Lord, I ask that you teach us about the good news being deliverance from the bad news. Keep us protected. Keep us wise in these times of the coronavirus. Help us to be edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the bad news is more than 3,000 years ago in the days of the judges. The bad news exists now, and we don't need a wake-up call as drastic as a coronavirus alert to be aware of it. The bad news is why things like the coronavirus even exist, anything like that exists. The bad news has existed in every generation since Adam and Eve, and it's all around you. It's permeating the world with its curse, with its deception, with its doom. The bad news is that the world in every generation is in bondage to sin and death. Everything bad comes because of sin. Disease, famine, deformity, family problems, strife, immorality, killing, hurting, heartache, being spiritually lost, separated from God in sin. It's all bad news. And it's bad that the sinful world is opposed to God. It's bad news. And it also tries to pull Christians back into bondage to sinful things. And it wants you to be confused. It wants you to be trapped by the things of its deception. Well, in that day, we need to think of it this way. The Moabites represent this problem. They are the picture of sin as the influencer, trapper, and controller. The Moabites were oppressive, highlighting the devastating curse of the bad news. The Moabites came into existence generations earlier when the daughter of Lot was the nephew of Abraham, the daughter of Lot got her own father Lot to make her pregnant. And she had a son named Moab. The Moabite nation resulted. God had grace with the Moabites, but over time they worshiped the false god Chemosh, and they became enemies of God and Israel. 2 Kings 3:27 explains that human sacrifice was part of their worship. Human sacrifice is horrible beyond words, but it's more than physical. It represents the worshiper's spiritual sacrifice of self, offering oneself to everlasting doom and false religion. Well, at the time, Israel was worshiping Baal and Asheroth, and also this false god, Chemosh. It's all bad news. Now, a guy named Eglon became the king of the Moabites, and we are told the Lord had King Eglon defeat Israel because of Israel's evil, and this is how God works. God's covenant people were in bondage to the personification of sin and death, the Moabites. It's all bad news. Israel was subservient to King Eglon for 18 years. The Israelites cried out to God in repentance and hope of the good news of deliverance. Well, in his grace, God raised up a man to be their deliverer, and his name is Ehud. And we are told that Ehud was a left-handed Benjamite. Well, the wording for him being left-handed might not seem important, but it is. It's an idiom. It literally means being restricted in respect to the right hand. It does not mean that Ehud was crippled. Benjamites, particularly, were known for this attribute of being able to use weapons with their left hands. Ehud was a Benjamite. And it was probably as a result of being trained through restricting the right hand, thus the idiom. Judges 20:16 uses the same idiom to describe 700 left-handed Benjamite warriors who were marksmen with slingshots. You find that chapters ahead in Judges. 1 Chronicles 12 mentions a squad of Benjamite soldiers being able to use both their left hands and right. Well, Ehud the Benjamite had a two-edged sword about a foot long, and he wore it on his right side under his cloak, which was unusual for the average person. 95% of people are right-handed. And in that day, the natural place for people to look to see if you were wearing a sword was on your left side. That's a common place a right-handed person would wear the sword, so they could reach across and grab it. Well, all these details are going to make more sense later on, but right now, we have a good picture of what the bad news is. And so now I want to get to the good news. The good news is that the truth breaks the bondage of sin and death. The message of God for salvation is the truth. Your life in Christ is good news. It is the truth you experience in this world of sin and death and disease like the coronavirus. And since God's truth reveals both bad news and good news, it also shows that the bad news is why the good news is necessary. God's good news deliverer from the bad news was Ehud the Benjamite. But oddly, first, Ehud was going to deliver some good news to the bad Moabite King Eglon. King Eglon had taken up residence in the area of the ruins of Jericho. Now, if you'll remember, Jericho is where the walls fell before the Israelites over 50 years earlier. Well, now this new place that King Eglon was living in was called the City of Palm Trees. And the Israelites decided to send a gift to the king, a tribute to him. It was a large, valuable item, and they had to carry it by several men. Ehud was the Israelite who led the Israelite entourage. And when they got to the king, Ehud presented the tribute to King Eglon, who received it as good news. But this good news was temporary. It was from men. It was not from God. When they had finished presenting the tribute to King Eglon, the Israelite group left. And they got about 2.5 miles away to a place called Gilgal. Gilgal was this place that was a memorial location for Israel. God wanted it to be that. Joshua 4:6 said that Gilgal was ordained to be a landmark to remind their children about crossing the Jordan, coming into the promised land, and it now being their home. It's the same place the Israelite men got circumcised to symbolize their faith and putting off the old life, you know, wandering in the desert to enter the new life in the promised land. And it was there that the Lord told Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." And that's why it was named Gilgal. Gilgal means literally roll away. But now the memory of the Lord and his deliverance was fading from memory. So Ehud and the other Israelites left the city of palms. They had delivered the gift to the king. They left the city of palms. After walking about a half hour, they arrived at Gilgal. And Ehud saw something there that was not supposed to be there. It was bad news. It was a memorial to the results of sin. And it contrasted the fading memorial to God's blessing. Ehud saw carved idols in a quarry standing where the memorial for God's deliverance into the promised land was. And symbolically, those idols made a bad news statement. The reproach of the pagans had rolled away the honor of God. But not for Ehud. God's meaning for Gilgal was still remembered by Ehud. All of a sudden, Ehud sent the other Israelites ahead. And then the scripture says he turned from the idols of Gilgal and went back. Now, Ehud's action of turning from the idols is profoundly symbolic. He was one of the future children meant to remember God at Gilgal. So there he was. He remembers, he goes back, and he remembered God's deliverance. And so in turning back, he also turned from the false gods which supplanted the one true God. Ehud's own action represented all Israel turning from the insulting curse that had been set up against God's memory. And so the news that the pagan king had gotten moments before was the kind of news that strokes human ego. It's passing. It's vain. It's like everything that fades away in this world. It's like those idols. Getting that tribute gift from Israelites was not relevant to everlasting life with the one true God. Now Ehud was on his way back. He's going to give the king some more news. This time, the news is from the real God. Ehud got there, and he was allowed before the king. Ehud's sword was on the unusual side, hidden under his cloak. Ehud told King Eglon he had a message for him, but that it was a secret. The king told Ehud not to say anything until all the attendants left them alone in the king's chamber. Ehud remained there, sitting in front of the king. The Bible describes King Eglon as a very fat man. So, fat Eglon was sitting in front of Ehud, and Ehud told King Eglon straight out, "I have a message from God for you." Well, that means I'm going to share God's word with you. Eglon probably thought it was going to be good news, but for him, it was bad. That's because the two-edged sword of God's message has one edge that is good news, but the other is bad news. And I'm going to explain what I mean. Ehud got up from his seat, and he took the two-edged sword from his right side, and he thrust it into King Eglon's belly. And we're told the graphic details. The blade of the sword went in so deep that the handle went in also. And it says that the fat closed over the blade. Ehud left the sword in the king's belly. The king's intestines were split open, and everything came out of him. Well, the word of God to the king was bad news for him because it showed that death is the penalty for rejecting God and God's people. Hebrews 4:6 through 16, that's going to be something we're going to look at now, explains that God calls people to enter his rest of believing in him in Christ, spiritual salvation. And it says there in Hebrews 4, those who previously had good news proclaimed to them failed to enter because of disobedience to the good news. And so it says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. The Sabbath rest for the people of God is salvation in Christ Jesus. And the one who enters God's rest rests from his works as God did from his. So Hebrews says, be diligent to enter that rest in Christ so that you don't experience the bad news. The bad news is that you will fall if you follow the same example of disobedience to God's word of salvation like those people did in the past. But keep listening, Because what it says next at Hebrews 4:12 is so key to all this. It says in 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." You get that? Now look at Ephesians 6:17. It says, "The word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit." So understand this. The living and acting sword, the two-edged sword of the Holy Spirit, is the word of God. And think of one of its edges as being bad news. The other is the good news. Both edges are important for this reason, because it's all the truth. It's all the truth. God has given his two-edged sword to show why we desperately need to be saved. He gives us the full counsel. And it also shows how to be saved in God's grace through Christ Jesus. It's also a tool for you to use. It's working from God's hand through your hand. Now with Ehud, God's word worked from God's hand through his hand too. It pierced into the soul and it stayed there and exposed all the refuse within. Ehud went back to the king with the word of God. He had the message of truth. He had the two-edged sword with him. Now God wants you to carry God's word with you everywhere you go, in your heart, in what you say and what you do. You know, when you consider the coronavirus, which will pass, also consider your relationship to God that stays according to the sword of the truth. Encourage people with the light that's promised after the darkness of things like viruses and pain and death. Be thinking about the bad news spiritual condition of billions. Don't ignore their need of the good news for salvation. Well, Hebrews goes on and it says this. It says, "The two-edged sword of God's word pierces. It divides the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow." See, it gets into the inner being and it cuts through the flesh. It quickly gets to reality, especially the eternal realities. Speaks to the heart. Hebrews says it's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So remember, you don't have one edge without the other, and both edges are always at work. The Word of God is all of it, bad news and good news. Its sharp edges judge everything. It tells you what you are. It tells you that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. It tells you where your hope is. Hebrews says that with the sword of the Spirit, nothing is hidden from God, that all things are exposed to Him with whom we must give an account. His word buries in and it goes in deep and it stays there like Ehud's word in King Eglon. But it was not just King Eglon. You know, Israel was not completely innocent. They had turned against God and experienced the bad news of the word of God given by an angel. See, God's word cuts in and it lays out their condition. That's how they got into bondage to Moab in the first place. God promised them that he was going to send an angel before them to guard them. He said, "Obey his voice." Well, that's the word of God. "Don't rebel against him, because he will not forgive your transgression, since my name is in him." God was talking about himself as the angel. And his voice is the word of God. And God said, "If you truly obey his voice, and you do what I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel will go before you." Israel was not innocent. But now Israel was obeying the voice of God. And Ehud delivered it. King Eglon experienced the bad news of God's voice in opposing God and his covenant people. And know this, the news is consistent. In these times, carry it. Carry the consistency in your hand. Be ready to put it into other people. But do it in love. Do it in the gentleness of Christ. You know, let him pierce. Use the sword of the Spirit with the hope that it will bring spiritual healing. Look for the sword of the Spirit to work in your own life. To save others, it will mean killing the old person of sin and death. That's its job. God is at work. Your job is to live it and share it. It will enlighten others in its own power. And then, a new born-again person is made by the Holy Spirit. So the sting of the truth is pure. All have inherited sin and do sin, and so all fall short of the glory of God. Weird coronaviruses may be here because of the foolishness of men, but they're the result of sin. And so they remind us of the ultimate disease, sin. The bad news edge of God's word explains that we're all separated from God. We're all doomed to perish in the disease of sin unless we receive the remedy. The good news edge tells us the remedy. Receive and believe the salvation God provided in his Son. And so the good news edge is our hope. You've got to see the bad news, though, to know how serious the need for salvation from sin and death is. And then you see the good news is the goodness of God and salvation from the bad news. Now, after Ehud assassinated the king with the word of God, the message of God, he snuck out and went to the hill country of Ephraim, and he blew a trumpet. In the law of Moses and God's word, Numbers 10:9, it says, "When you go to war in your land against the adversary who attacks you, you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets." And next, it gives the good news. It says, "Sound an alarm with the trumpets, that the Lord your God will be mindful of you, and you will be saved from your enemies." That's the gospel. That's spiritual salvation right there in Christ Jesus. God's always mindful of you and your identity in Christ Jesus and salvation. And you're always saved from your enemy, which is sin and death. Well, when Ahab did this, he was relying on what? The word of God. He was looking to be saved from the enemies of God in Israel. So that's why he blew the trumpet. He knew salvation was in God's word. The Israelites came to him and they joined him to attack the Moabites. He shared good news with them too, to the rest of the Israelites. He said prophetically, "The Lord has given your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands." So Israel went and they defeated the Moabites. The Israelites were saved from the 18-year bondage to Moab. They entered God's rest for two more generations. So never take any part of God's revelation for granted. Never take the gospel for granted. Gospel literally means good news. It's deliverance from the bad. Look around you. See that the world is experiencing the bad news and its results. People are in bondage to a futile existence. Right now, there's people scared, fearful everywhere. And they just feel like it's over. Well, for a lot of them, their futile existence is being born to die in a struggle of pride, temporary possessions, and pain. That's all they look forward to each day. They experience a little happiness for a moment, and yet they still get diseases like the coronavirus. You know, and nations experience economic problems. These things are just here. It's all because of the bad news of sin. But the world does not call sin what God calls sin. And this is very important. The world gives sin the names of its idols. And here's what it calls it. It calls sin preference. It calls it your rights. See? It calls it the ways of people in an evolutionary thinking process. These are just the names that they give it. But those are idols raised up in Gilgal. See? God identifies sin. He says sin separates us from Him. He says sin is why there's disease. So, hold on to the good news that Christ Jesus is the good one. Take comfort in the fact that Jesus came to give life and give it abundantly. Have you received and believed in Him? If you've received His sacrifice for your sins, you are saved. You are accepted in Christ forever. It's not our own righteousness, it's His righteousness. And so remember, and whatever you go through, you have ultimate hope. Remember that whether there are virus plagues, economic problems, or something else, your relationship with God in Christ is your existence in the good news. Amen? Let's pray. Father, please continue to strengthen us. Please keep our minds on your word. Please keep us carrying the sword of the Spirit. Please keep us focused on the good news. In Jesus' name, amen. I also want to add that if you have any prayer requests that you want the church to pray for, please send them to tlc3bernie@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that the prayer requests get out to everyone. Be blessed in the Lord. I'll keep you updated in the coming days.